Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for coming in by today. It's really glad to see so many of you on what is a typical Aberdeen Dreich day. But thankfully, in here, we're nice and warm and dry, so please just rest as long as you like and enjoy the company and the soup. My name is Brian Gourley, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm one of the elders here at Gilgrimston. Our minister, Jerry, is, as you're probably aware, underwent a hip replacement operation a few weeks ago, and so he's still resting and recuperating. He is mobile. We see him at the weekends, and he gets up and about quite readily, but as yet not quite ready for up and down the stairs and leading us in the word. So it's my pleasure today just to take us through this little lunchtime service that we call Relaunch, and as Jerry likes to describe it, just a moment where we can just take time in the middle of the week to consider what's happening with ourselves, what's happening with our relationship with the Lord, and how we're coping with the demands that this world and our city puts upon us. So, welcome. It's good to see so many. So today, we're going to be continuing in the this series we've been looking at, which was titled Big Short Stories. So these are like looking at some of the parables that Jesus told whilst he was here, and have a look at what they might mean and how they can be of help for us today. But before we get to that, I might want to ask you, how you identify your approach to life. Are you a half glass empty or a half glass full person? Are we optimistic or pessimistic? Are we proactive or reactive? Are we assertive or are we quite passive when there's something that needs resolving? And possibly, maybe there's another question, are we a finder or a seeker? One famous finder that we might know of is a guy called Dr. Alexander Fleming. So he was a Scottish doctor and a microbiologist, and he found quite by accident an antibiotic that we now call penicillin. So his work was looking into the impact of antiseptics on injuries, and quite by accident, he'd left these slides out in his lab, went away on holiday, and came back, and they got all fussy, and there's all mould growing around some of the slides. But when looking at them, he noticed that the bacteria had been killed by the presence of this mould. And so from there, he developed what we now call penicillin. As he says in a diary he wrote afterwards, "One sometimes finds what one is not looking for. When I woke up just after dawn on September 28th, 1928, I certainly did not plan to revolutionize all medicine by discovering the world's first antibiotic or a bacteria killer. But I suppose that's exactly what I did." So, quite by accident, he found something that we really benefit from today. And there have been many other famous seekers too. There's a guy called the Great Belzoni. His real name is Giovanni Battista Belzoni. He's an Italian explorer, and by all context, he's the real-day Indiana Jones. His skill was to go and seek out these ancient Egyptian antiquities, looking for artifacts of great value, both monetary and historical. And there's been plenty of tales written about other treasure seekers, names which I'm sure we're quite familiar with in fiction anyway. Lara Croft, Jack Sparrow, Bilbo Baggins, even, as we heard last week. So Tintin, if you remember him, he was a treasure seeker. But our parable today concerns us with these both treasure finders and seekers. And it's another illustration in a sequence of scenarios where Jesus describes what the kingdom of heaven looks like. These small anecdotes carry a powerful message, which is not always obvious when we first read it. But we'll just take a look at a small piece of Matthew's Gospel, where in chapter 13 we can read, and the words are on the screen if you wish. So this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." So here we are. Here we see Jesus telling two different stories, both describing in different terms much the same thing: what the kingdom of heaven is like, hidden treasure and fine pearls. But if we read the passage and only consider the words that we see, we might understand that in both scenarios, and putting it really simply, these men uncover something of immense value as they are going through life. They both recognize that what they have seen is worth them selling all their other worldly possessions to acquire the treasure that they've discovered. They feel they need to own these valuable things. But if we apply some context to these words, you know, the story that Jesus told at that time, as it was in ancient times, it would be common practice for families, owners of treasure, to bury such goods in their land, in their garden, because there was no banks, there's no safe place to keep anything, and there were always people on the prowl. So finding hidden treasure in a field is probably more likely than we would think today. But if you own the land, then you could do with that land what you wished. So that would entitle the owner to claim as their own everything that was on the land or under the ground. And it was hid again, as we read, so that no one else could find it until this man had a chance to buy the field. In this man's eyes, what he found was worth far more than all the other possessions that he had. And so he would be richer in the long run. But if you also take into mind that in these parables, these particular parables, Jesus is just speaking to the 12 disciples. Some of the earlier ones, he was speaking to a wider crowd, but in these ones, he's only speaking to the disciples. And so we might think that he's given them a particular insight. He might be encouraging them. And he's using perhaps the calling of these 12 disciples in the way this parable is explained. Simon, Peter, and Andrew, James and John, we might know, were fishermen. But when Jesus came along the shore and called on them, they dropped their nets and followed him. They left everything behind. Levi, who we know as Matthew, was a tax collector. And when Jesus encountered him, and he was invited back for a meal, but then he gave up all his possessions to become a disciple. And others, like Bartholomew, Thomas, Thaddeus, even Judas, they came upon Jesus at his gatherings wanting to know what this phenomenon was. And they were so taken with Jesus that they too let go of their worldly comforts. They became followers of Jesus. So it's as if Jesus is telling these parables to these chosen 12 to encourage them to hold on to what they have been, what's been revealed to them. That is, Jesus is access to the kingdom of heaven. But what should they do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, as we read, give up everything that they hold onto. The value of eternal residence is far greater than the houses and the occupations that they had before Jesus walked into their lives. "You will be my messengers," is what Jesus is saying to them. "This new covenant will be visible through your lives," and almost by way of a reminder that they should not hanker after the treasures of the world that they had or slip back into their ways. No, it's important that the standard of their witness is kept high so as to affirm to others the validity of Jesus' teaching. But still, perhaps in our interpretation, there's some other consideration we might want to think about. That in both parables, the man and the merchant could represent Jesus himself. The kingdom of heaven is only found in Jesus. In this view, we could say that the field represents the world. When the Lord saw that there was good in the world, that there were people who wanted to love the Lord, they became God's treasure. And so, in order to gain possession of the treasure, Jesus paid the price with his life. His sacrifice has paid our debt, been atoned for man's sins and rejection of God. Jesus gave his all for us. And if we consider the merchant to be Jesus, again, we can view the merchant as one who is looking for items of beauty that he could call his own. Mankind is the pearls. Some are worthy of attention. Some are obviously poor quality. And others are highly desirable. Again, the merchant, Jesus, has to pay the price to purchase the jewel. It costs him everything, even his life. Jesus was willing to be that sacrifice that would be the cost of our redemption. And his blood has purchased our freedom. So there are many levels to this, and as Neil was talking about movies last week, it came to my mind, there's a film, Inception, with Leonardo DiCaprio, which has many levels of dreams. And the in that story, they get into other people's dreams in order to manipulate how they think and what they're going to plan to do. But the... So here with these parables, there are many levels, many perhaps different interpretations that we could take from it. But to come back to, as I was alluding at the beginning, perhaps for our help today, that we consider what our attitude to life, what our attitude to Christ is. Are we a finder or a seeker? Are we the ones who are strolling through the field as we have in the scripture, and we just happen upon the treasure, and we weren't looking for Jesus, but suddenly he's there, and having realized who he is, we do all we can to possess him. We recognize that we need to give up so many things in our lives, that there are attitudes that need to change. Our desires are refocused. So we could be finders. But as with the passage says, that when the man discovered the treasure in the field, what did he do? In his joy, he went and sold everything he had. So he was delighted to let go of the things that gave him comfort in the world in order that he could own salvation in Christ. So yeah, the... recognizing the true value, the immeasurable value of the treasure, is far more valuable than all that we could currently possess. So as Paul spoke to the church in Colossae, he said, "Be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So we can get to know the kingdom of heaven through God's son, Jesus. He's a treasure buried in the field. And we can get to know him through his word, in the Bible, if we dig into it. As the early disciples encountered Jesus, their response to his call to come and follow was to leave their nets, as we say. Their whole way of life, they let go because they realized that serving Jesus was far more rewarding than all their other trappings. And if we think of the pearls and the merchant who was seeking the pearls, the merchant who was at the go to the markets and was looking for the best quality, then yeah, there's some sort of meaning in life. What are we seeking for? Are we seeking for a purpose in this world? Someone to believe in? Or is it something more dependable than a friend or a secure investment? So the merchant represents to those in the world who are seeking perhaps to find their spiritual goal. Are we seeking God? Are we entertaining the notion of salvation? Are we yet to be convinced of the truth of the Gospels, but yet we're still keen to know more? So we're looking, we're searching. So there are many faith systems in this world, all vying for our attention, and all, you know, look interesting, suggesting they hold the answers to life, the world, and all that's in it. But none of these can bear the scrutiny of testing. No, there is only one true God who sent his son Jesus to this earth to become our Redeemer, a sacrificial lamb required to clear the debt of man's folly. The merchant recognized the uniqueness and the immense value of this one pearl and considered it so precious that he gave up everything to buy it. So how might we know the kingdom of heaven? Well, through God's son, Jesus. The pearl is the immeasurable value. It has immense beauty. It's attractive. It's entrancing. It's desirable. And wearing it makes the wearer attractive to others. Lives truly lived out, adorned with Christ, are something to behold. Oh, but we do need to come to the realization that we need to let go of the things in this world that we give us comfort. And that can be difficult to do. But thankfully, we have God's grace and forgiveness. And he is willing to step in to help us in our times of need. And giving up everything for the sake of the kingdom clearly is a bargain worth completing. So in summary then, are we a finder or a seeker? Or maybe we don't know. Perhaps we've yet to wander into the field or to go to that market. For me, I'm a finder. I was never seeking after God. I had no ambition to understand my place in the universe or what life would have in store for me, or for me, even what the answer was to the meaning of life, which, according to Arthur Dent, the answer is 42, by the way. But no. So my discovery of this hidden treasure came about through a relationship with a lady who's now my wife, and spending weekends with her caused me to come to church as a plus one. But as I wandered through this field of love and companionship, the hidden treasure that was revealed to me through God's word, hearing it preached, witnessing the love of God's people, truly interested me and culminated in the presence of the Holy Spirit coming in all his power and glory to confirm it to me that what I had discovered was indeed worth more than the hopes and dreams I had until then. A yoke of burden that I never knew I was carrying was lifted from me that day. So only in Jesus are our sins truly forgiven. So, do you know this God? Do you want to know this God? Do you know what the kingdom of heaven is like? Are we looking? The doomsday sandwich board wearers carry a message, which is true. Seek ye the Lord while he may still be found. And as we can read in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you, Lord, for all its depth, for the complexity it has, Lord, but yes, for, Lord, the encouragements it brings to us, challenge and comfort, mysteries, revelations, its power to convict and to save. Through it, we can know you and your son, Jesus. Your desire for us to know you is unending, and enabled through Jesus and his obedience to you to teach, to love, to example, and then to die for all our benefit. His was the sacrifice. His was the price that bought our freedom. He gave us all that we might own him and then know the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, would you come to us today? Help us, Father, we pray, in these days. Forgive us the times when we don't know you so well. Help us to know you better, to love and serve you as best we can, and to bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, thank you very much for listening. I appreciate that. Please stay as long as you wish today. There's no rush to get out. It's wet. It's warm in here. And have a blessed day. Thank you.